You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, August 30th. It's time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Michael Erickson of Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas. Good morning, Pastor Erickson.
Good morning, Andy. How are you today?
Very well, very well. Looking forward to studying God's Word with you today. I'd love to learn a little bit about Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas.
Well, we are located in the Great Plains in the panhandle of Texas, about an hour from Amarillo, where the wind blows, and a good bunch of faithful Lutheran folks here. And we just celebrated our 75th anniversary this summer, so that was a great experience. Very, very blessed.
Well, thanks be to God for Zion Lutheran Church there in Pampa, Texas, and that the good news of Jesus is being proclaimed there. Tell us about 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 24. Anything you want us to know about it as we prepare to study today, Pastor?
Well, I think here what Paul does is he kind of shifts context and goes into a matter of this wonderful generous giving that he's encouraging the congregation there at Corinth to do, and kind of wraps up with how it's done all in good order.
All right. Good order is what we're aiming for today, too. We're studying in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 24. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at our texts. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace. All right. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Pastor, what do we have here, this letter?
Okay. Well, what I think Paul is doing is he writes to the Corinthians. He goes back to these wonderful folks in Macedonia who, Paul is taking this. He's got this really this plan or this charge to get funds for the saints that are struggling through a famine in Jerusalem. And he is bringing to mind the churches in Macedonia who, even though they were very poor, they had this severe test of affliction, and yet they are just overflowing in this wealth of generosity. So much so that they even want to, they're begging him to be a part of this offering. They want to give. They see the need, and they're just overflowing in the abundance. Even if they don't have a lot, they still want to give towards this goal. And he encourages them by pointing that out and showing them this wonderful grace. And he begins with that, with the grace of God, and how they are overflowing with that in their own lives and with this gift.
For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. How does this affliction lead to abundance of joy, extreme poverty overflow into a wealth of generosity?
Well, really only by the grace of God. If you're talking about happiness, you're talking about a very worldly emotion that kind of comes and goes with how well things are going. But with joy, with knowing that you have the grace of God and the gifts of our Lord and the faith that you're given in baptism, the richest of gifts on the face of the planet. With that, even if there's affliction, even if you have poverty, you can still have this abundance of joy and this peace with God, knowing that all things are yours in Christ. And even with that, the Macedonian churches wanted to give towards this collection for the saints back in Jerusalem. So even though they're afflicted, even though they don't have a lot, they still are abundantly blessed. And it's the same word there with the abundance of joy and the overflowing of wealth. It's the same Greek word there. They're overflowing with this wealth of generosity.
For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then, by the will of God, to us.
Yeah, here, again, beyond their means, I mean, this, it's almost radical giving here. You know, they didn't have, and yet they still wanted to give. Now, you know, some could argue that, you know, it's almost like the poor widow who gave everything. I don't think that, because there's other verses that might show different than that. But it's the idea that they maybe didn't have a lot, but they still gave beyond what they could. It's not that they gave everything they couldn't take care of themselves, but they went beyond a normal giving kind of thing, which again shows how rich they were in the grace of God to do that.
Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. What was this work of Titus that they urged him to complete?
Yeah, it sounds like this. Paul's going to send Titus, and they had this idea of, you know, getting this offering together. And it says in the upcoming verses, I think they had started like a year earlier. And some commentators think that they had started before and were really gung ho with it and kind of had dropped off. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it seemed like there had been this kind of year-long emphasis of gathering some funds together. And Titus is the one who's going to visit and take charge of this and take care of the offering and bring it back to Paul, or to where it needs to go.
But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also.
Yeah, and here's where this overflowing word comes again. Here the ESV has it translated excel. So, you know, before it talked about overflowing with joy and overflowing in a wealth of generosity. Here he says now, as you overflow in everything, so they're overflowing in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in this earnestness, in this love for you, see that you also overflow in this act of grace. So here he's talking about to the Corinthians, look, the Macedonians were overflowing in abundance and in this wealth of generosity. Now, you've been blessed. You have a lot, and you're overflowing in faith and in these rich gifts of God, so you can overflow in this act of grace as well and take part in this offering for the saints. And you can rejoice in that.
Anything else up through verse 7, Pastor, before we embark on verses 8 and following?
No, I think that's just the wonderful, it's, you know, like those Thrivent shirts that a lot of Lutherans have been wearing, you know, live generously. It's that kind of wonderful attitude in giving generously with the abundance that God has given to his people.
I say this, verse 8, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that, as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. All right. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. Pastor?
Yeah, you know, now, here's the great thing about Paul. He's not, it's not a sermon or a teaching of, well, you got to dig deeper and let's guilt you into this, you know. It's not those silly stewardship kind of things where it's all just guilt and burden. It's not a command, but he's kind of saying, look at how the Macedonians out of this wonderful grace of God gave, and you've been blessed as well, and so show your love to be genuine. There's a great Luther quote on I'd like to share that if I could. It says, in order that men do not deceive themselves and think they have faith when they have not, they are to examine their works, whether they also love their neighbors and do good to them. If they do this, it's a sign that they have true faith. If they do not do this, they only have the sound of faith. A Christian life must embrace and never separate these two, faith and love. So I think he's saying, look, you've got all this wonderful faith, and now show your great love in this participation and inviting to give this offering.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich, that you by his poverty might become rich.
Yeah, and here's where the gospel comes flooding in. You know, here's where Paul so wonderfully brings them back to the grace they've been given. For you know this grace. You know what Christ has done, and here's where in great, you know, Lutheran theology words we call the great exchange, where he talks about Christ, who, you know, was the creator of everything, the universe, had all that, yet for your sake, for poor sinful mankind, took on flesh, became poor, had nothing. You know, he's not worried about his stock portfolio and all of his houses that he has and all these things. He didn't have anything. Takes on flesh, lives among us, has basically nothing, so that we can have the treasures of the faith, the treasures of his kingdom. He became poor that we might have all the gifts of God. So here's the real motivation for all giving, is that here's our Lord who blesses us with the richness of his kingdom, and it's all free to us. It cost him everything. He gives his life. He pays for our sins, takes our sin upon himself, and we receive his righteousness, peace with God, reconciliation. So it's really kind of one of the main verses of the whole chapter.
And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have.
Okay, yeah. So here's the idea about this, you know, year-long starting it and this kind of campaign, if you will, to give towards the saints in Jerusalem. You started it. Let's finish it. I'm sending Titus, and let's pick all that up and finish the course there.
For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable, according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have.
Yeah, and I think this is where Paul, you could maybe go to that, the idea of giving through with what God has blessed you with. If you have a lot, then you can be generous with more. If you only have a little, then you can still give, but it might not be as much as those who have more. But yet there's still the idea of your giving. If you don't have, if you're blessed with less, then you don't have quite as much to give, and that's okay. But yet there's still this idea of giving.
For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness.
Yeah, and here's the wonderful thing about this text here is, this is not some kind of socialism redistribution of wealth kind of thing. It's not a mandated, but it's the idea that, look, you've been blessed here, and how wonderful God has blessed you in faith and with even maybe monetary things, and right now these other folks are suffering, so you have great opportunity to help them. It's not just that I want to burden you so they can live it up and have a great time. They're hurting, and you've been blessed. And that the tide may turn one day, where you may have the needs, you may be struggling, you may be poor, and some other Christians, another church in another area may be blessed, and they may be given opportunity to help you then with an offering or with giving or with relief in that way. So here's the Corinthians' opportunity, that it's not that they just can have it easy and you burdened, but out of your abundance, which is now and for you, they're in need, and you have the great opportunity of participating in this generous giving out of the means that God has given to you.
As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack.
Yeah, so these wonderful gifts, I think he's going back to the Old Testament there with, you could almost think about the picking up of manna, I think he's referring to there, and it was always there for them. God provided it. And that's the thing is, our Lord is so gracious in how he takes care of us. For, we get so tied to our stuff, and we get too stuff-oriented. And that's our problem, is we, instead of seeing the gifts of God as gifts, I think sometimes our sinful nature takes over, and we start to think of everything as ours and my stuff and my possessions. And we forget how it's really just a loan from God. They're really all God's. It's all a blessing from God, how richly he provides for us. And when we can see it as more, we're stewards of his things, his wealth, then it's much easier for us to have the attitude of sharing, giving, being generous, because we're not so tied to it. We're not so cemented to it as our own, but as something to have joy in giving to our neighbor and out of love for him and care for him.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor Michael Erickson of Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to His Time.
Our weekly schedule for Law and Gospel means that on Tuesdays, we examine the hymn for the coming Sunday. With the help of Pastor Mark Smith, I, Tom Baker, will take a look as to which readings the hymn is referring to. It will be most interesting.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary. Today we're studying with Pastor Michael Erickson of Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 24. Pastor, before we go on to verse 16, anything else that you'd like to revisit before we go on to the next section?
Just a couple things about giving. Paul here is talking about a specific kind of giving towards the relief of the saints in Jerusalem. And I think we could also apply this also to, I think in the next chapter he's going to talk about a cheerful giver, but it is a Christian's duty also to give to their local congregation and to their church. And, people can give grudgingly, hopefully not, but hopefully they can see their giving to support the preacher, the preaching of the gospel, as not just a duty they have to do because they're a part of something, but as a joy, and in how they're blessed by God in their vocations and in their jobs that they work and receive a payment for that kind of thing, as just this wonderful joy to support the kingdom, to pay the pastor, to have a man to proclaim the word, to receive the gifts of God. It's a wonderful thing. There's really just such joy in it, in all of it, not only helping those in need, but that how God sets up his the church and the pastor to work in that way, I think is a wonderful thing to have joy in, just the Sunday offering each week.
But thanks be to God. Verse 16. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. All right. So thanks be to God, but thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you.
Yeah, Paul's certainly thankful, giving glory to the one who changes hearts, creates in us a clean heart, and he's commending Titus and saying, hey, not only do I have this connection with the Corinthians, and he's written to them and loves them and has been talking about his ministry to them, hey, the heart of Titus has that same care for you, and I'm sending him to take care of this business, and this genuine love I have is there with him as well, so they can be happily receive him when he comes.
For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord.
Yeah, here, you know, it's not that Paul gave him the order to go, but he wants to go and take charge of this wonderful ministry of gathering this collection. And how wonderful it is when we can do our duties with a heart of, how do I want to say this, willingness to go. You know, he wants to be there doing the work of the Lord that Paul has sent him to do. And there's great joy in that.
With him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill.
Yeah, so here's the brother that Paul adds here that's going to accompany Titus to visit them, and he's, some people think it's Luke. I don't know for sure, but he's famous in for preaching the gospel, and he's going to accompany him and come with him, and so not only will Titus visit, but he's got other brothers, other workers going with him, and they're going to take care of this business together.
We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man.
Yeah, and here's I think, what is good about this second part of the text here is, you know, when people give money, they, especially to the church or to charities, they, if you give your money, you want it to be handled well. You don't want it wasted. You want it to go towards the, like, flood victims or tornado victims, or you want it to help people. You want it to do good, and that's part of the joy of giving. Well, here Paul gives charge to Titus and the gospel preaching guy and these gentlemen, so that all things are done in good and proper order, that Paul's fellow co-workers can come, and that this is all done rightly and purely, and that the Corinthians, when they give their offering, as they've collected it over that year, that it's going to be done to their joy, and that they're above reproach and everything's honorable. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, in churches, this happens all the time. We have treasurers that count money, and it often there's accountability with that. People audit the books. There's someone who counts the money with our treasurers, that kind of thing. It's done in good order, so that everything is up front and done rightly. And I think Paul's sharing that with them.
And with them, we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you.
Yeah, I think he's wonderfully zealous here to go and see the Corinthians, be encouraged by them, and have the opportunity to take this offering with him. And this group of the fellow workers of Paul are going with great confidence that this is going to be a blessing to receive this offering for the saints in Jerusalem.
And as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ.
Yeah. Here, I think Titus is almost representing Paul in a sense, and the other brothers are messengers of the churches. As you know, it's possible the other churches may have commissioned some to be a part of this gathering, and it almost looks like Paul saying, "Well, Timothy here is representing me, and he's going to deal with you as well. And these other messengers are from these other churches, and it's all for the glory of Christ. All this offering, all this gathering, is this wonderful blessing to give glory to God, to help and show love to our fellow saints there. So as he sends this group of men, his fellow workers, he's wonderfully happy about that.
So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men.
Yeah, here again, it's this idea of showing love through the faith that they've been given there in the congregation of Corinth. The abundance is overflowing. They have been given the example of the Macedonians, and Paul has talked about the Corinthians and boasted about the blessings that God has worked there and given them through the word and the sacrament and the congregation there. And out of your love, here is where you can show this wonderful gift to give and for the glory of Christ and for the good of God's kingdom.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn today from this text?
Well, I think it is a great example of how we can give ourselves a good examination on our giving and how we view our material things and how we view our maybe stewardship and our possessions even, and our attitudes and our hearts about how do we give. You know, does it take a crowbar to get something out of you? That's not a cheerful giver. That's you know, we can all be miserly at times. That's the law check on us. That's the we can become selfish so easily when the old Adam rears his ugly head. But this wonderful new man is like the Macedonian church. You see how God has you see how God has blessed us in the faith, given his son, who becomes poor for us, and yet then gives us the treasures of faith, forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's the rich treasures that we have. And yet then with that, we take a look at what we have physically, and we say, wow, it's all God's. It's all to be shared with our neighbor in love. And there's great joy in that.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Michael Erickson of Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas. Pastor Erickson, thanks for being our guest today, helping us study in 2 Corinthians chapter 8.
Okay, sure. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. God bless you and all the saints there at Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.